The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, not a whole lot to break down from this one. From start to finish, it wasn't pretty. You can make the case it was the first couple of minutes that lost this game for the Bucks as they fell in a big hole, 22-2 hole to be exact. However, we did see them trim that margin all the way down to 8 in the final minute of the second quarter. But look, you heard, if you were listening on the network, you heard the thoughts of Adrian Griffin after the game. And a relatively candid Adrian Griffin about all of these issues that his team ran into tonight and those holes that this team just continued to step in. A tough night offensively, but didn't like the energy from the jump. And we've heard this a number of times from Griff. Your offense has to set up your defense. And it seems like whenever we have seen games like this, where it has been a large deficit, we have heard that same chatter of, you know, the offense has to work in tandem with the defense. We weren't able to get floor balance because of the shot selection. They were racing down in transition, and we didn't give our defense an opportunity to get set because of the quality of shots. And you know, also added, you can't freelance, essentially. When you take out of rhythm shots, it catches everybody off guard. They don't know whether to crash, whether to get back in transition, or what. It goes against your plan. And that, look, that wasn't the whole genesis of this. The energy, we heard Griff call that out, that it wasn't where it needed to be at the start of the game. That was an issue. We had seen that cleaned up. But some of the things that we had seen problematic earlier in the season that have crept up once more are much more glaring. That is the work on the glass, points in the paint, turnovers. Turnovers were actually fine tonight. But all of this leading to transition baskets, it remains very, very problematic for this team that still has a high ceiling but has these glaring issues that need to be addressed. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Your thoughts on what we saw in Cleveland, and we'll take a look ahead as well to what may be just what the doctor ordered. Two games in Detroit against the Pistons. We'll get into the conversation after this on Bucks Talk. .135-.95. Not a good night for the offense, and that really set the tone for the Bucks tonight in this 40-point loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell had a big night. George Niang had a huge night. 31 from Mitchell. He kind of set the tone early in this game as he put up 14 of those 31. In the first quarter, I think he had 19 at halftime. Niang had 20 at halftime. He had 16 in the second quarter and just kept it rolling throughout the course of this game with a big performance down the stretch as well. So a career-high 33 points from George Niang. And the Bucks just never recovered from that slow start to this game. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. As this team, look, as I kind of joked, it may be what the doctor ordered to go to Detroit and to take on the Pistons. I do also want to spend a little bit of time on the trade that we saw earlier today, because there's a lot of interesting components to that. And it, I suppose, comes at the ideal time for the Bucks in that you're done with the Indiana Pacers in the regular season now, but the Pacers making a big move earlier today. And now, look, when you view this by the division, the Pacers and Cavs separated by just one game in chasing the Bucks, and you know that margin is starting to get much slimmer. It is just 2 in the loss column, separating the Bucks and the Cavs, 4 separating the Bucks and the Pacers. So as we've mentioned a number of times, the schedule and how it increases in the second half of the season, you're not exactly out of the woods. It's how do you choose to view this? There is the good component that, look, there are certainly things that need to improve with this team and need to be addressed, and you need to see some of those consistent strides. You're now four games back of the Boston Celtics, so you're starting to lose the rope a little bit there. But for most of this first half of the season, you were right there. And as it stands now, you're on pace for 56 wins. I think the Bucks over-under, I think their futures number was somewhere around 51.5 coming into the season. Again, second half schedule is much more difficult than the first half, but you could be in a much worse spot here. I think that's the big takeaway. Things to improve, but it also could be worse. Now, it's probably hard to digest that 30 minutes removed from a game where you lose by 40 points. But again, you didn't have Giannis. Now, that does not explain losing this game and losing by 40, but I think it does explain this. We heard Adrian Griffin say the energy wasn't where it needed to be. We have talked about that on this show, that Giannis has been the guy from day one this season, setting the tone. He has been the guy trying to hold his teammates and everybody in the organization accountable. He has been the one speaking up after games when things haven't worked. He has been the guy that when you just use the eye test and look at the floor, he is the guy that is clearly giving 110%. That is not to say nobody else on the team is trying. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But he is the guy that has set the tone for this team all season long. It's only the second game he has missed all season long. And I think it was notable that with Giannis being that guy, he's not there tonight. And from the jump, this team just didn't have it. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned that trade. I do want to get into the details of that trade the Indiana Pacers pulled off and what it means for the Bucks. We'll get to that and also preview what to expect, or we hope to expect, in Detroit this weekend. We'll get into those conversations next on Bucks Talk. A tough night in Cleveland as the Bucks, I mean, boat raced, I guess you would put it, from start to finish, down 22-2 to start this game. A game they ultimately lose by 40 to a Cavaliers team that continues to play without Darius Garland and without Evan Mobley. But tonight it was the performance of George Niang and Donovan Mitchell, who combined for 39 points at the half and 64 points for the game in this victory. So again, there's not a whole lot to analyze from this. The defense was not where it needed to be, but as I mentioned and I gave you some of those quotes from Adrian Griffin after the game, he basically put this on the offense and said they weren't good enough. They did not have that in the opening minutes of this game. Again, as we referenced, a 22-2 hole. That first field goal of the game for the Bucks came on a Malik Beasley layup 90 seconds into the game. Their next points on a Brook Lopez dunk would not come until the 5:40 mark of the game. So basically 5 minutes of scoreless basketball. It was 6-2, and when the Bucks next scored, it was 22-4. So a 16-2 run by the Cavaliers that really opened that up. But again, you were able to knock it down to 8 on a Pat Connaughton 3 with under a minute remaining. But George Niang would score. The Cavaliers would score the next 5 points in the second quarter. And that balloon, that lead, before you knew it, ballooned again to 20-plus. And this seemed to stay at 20 or more for the duration of the game. There was one small stretch where the Bucks were able to chip away, but this was a night where your offense did not have it. It put you in a hole. And as we heard from Griff, some of the shot selection put the defense especially behind the eight ball and just compounded things for the Bucks. So with this loss, you are four games back of the Celtics. You're just a game in front of the Sixers. but you're tied in the loss column. They are 26-13. They looked very good last night in beating the Denver Nuggets. You're 28-13. You have reached the midpoint of the season. So have the Boston Celtics. So have the Knicks. So have the Miami Heat. So have the Orlando Magic. The Bulls are past the midpoint of the season, but we're getting to that point now where, for the most part, teams are halfway through their slate of games. And more importantly, we are 3 weeks. I believe tomorrow marks 3 weeks until the trade deadline. Is that right, Tommy? Can we do the math there? It is February 8th. So, yes, tomorrow will be 3 weeks out from the trade deadline. We saw a trade today. And it was interesting because I talked about this on a different platform earlier. But I think there are really a couple of things to keep in mind when we monitor these movements and trades. Number one, moves that the Bucks make. How does this make us not only better, but how does this make us better against the Boston Celtics and potentially the Philadelphia 76ers, but especially the Celtics? That's where your focus is. Because you know that is a team you're going to have to go through. But I mentioned the Philadelphia 76ers because they, to me, remain a very, very worrisome team. The way that Joel Embiid is playing, and if you did not see the game last night against the Nuggets, he was very good. 10 assists, his passing has gone up another level. His jump shot has been even better this season. 40 points that he scored in that matchup with Nikola Jokic. Joel Embiid has been a monster. Now, you can say, well, he hasn't played a lot of games. He has not. But the games he has played, he has been the best offensive player in the league. Tyrese Maxey has broken out and become a star. And the Sixers have a whole lot of assets to make some moves. That's what worries me about Philadelphia. And it's easy to clown on them and laugh and say, LOL Sixers. But let's also remember, that's the same spot the Bucks were in up until 2021, where you had people saying, yeah, but do it in the playoffs. We don't trust this team to go any further than that. Eventually it changes. And if the Sixers are able to get that third piece, to me, that makes them a very terrifying team. I mention all of this because there were two names that we've seen linked to Philadelphia in recent weeks. OG Anunoby, who we saw go to the New York Knicks, 2 weeks ago in the first real trade that we saw so far this in season. And now today, Pascal Siakam goes to the Indiana Pacers. While you're going to have to contend with him potentially in the playoffs and certainly in your division next year, because the thought is he's going to sign an extension with the Pacers, he doesn't go to Philadelphia. And that is the big thing to keep an eye on is, man, I hope Philadelphia doesn't start to acquire some assets. Now, there was some more interesting chatter that we can certainly get into after the break about an old friend in one of the more recent updates that we saw from Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports. We'll get to that. And hear some thoughts from you guys as well. 855-616-1620, that number to join us. More after this on Bucks Talk. 135-95, a lot to a little. Cavaliers up big in the opening minutes of this game. They win big, beating the Bucks by 40 tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. I mentioned the trade that happened earlier today with the Indiana Pacers and the Toronto Raptors. There was another update on an old friend of ours that was rather interesting from Jake Fisher. We'll get to that momentarily, but let's head out to the phone lines and check in with Dick in Port Washington. What do you have to say about this one, Dick?
Terribly disappointing. I mean, Let me just go on a little rant here. I know my buddies in North Carolina will probably jump on me, but this two games in a row, our coach has not had our players ready to play. Fortunately, we pulled the one out with a great shot in overtime. But you know Giannis wasn't going to play. They were dead. They were dead in the water. Now, people are going to say, oh, yeah, they shot the lights out against us, which is true, but maybe some defense would have helped. Listening to the post-game show, it's the same stuff every night. He's great at identifying the problems after the game is over. I want to see some identification of problems while the game's going on and trying to do stuff. So I think it was against Sacramento. He put Livingston in for 1 minute. I don't understand stuff like that. And the second part of my rant, because I'm dumping on the coaching staff, is this should have been Dame night. Where was that? I don't understand it. I think the trade today puts us in a very precarious position. The guy from Toronto has killed us many times. I always support the guys from my PTI show late in the afternoon. But Wilbon said today that he doesn't think this trade is going to put him above Boston and Milwaukee. I think the trade puts him ahead of Milwaukee and maybe equal with Philadelphia, and we're behind all of them. I think what you're talking about is a trade for P.J. Tucker or something. I mean, he's old and slow. I think this season's going to go down where we're in the second half of the season, we're going to be scrambling to stay out of the playoffs.
The play-in?
Doom and gloom, but the play-in tournaments, you're right. I don't see any corrections during the game. And I know these halftime talks on Valley Sports from the assistant coaches probably don't mean a heck of a lot, but they are so boring. I mean, last year you'd see guys come out with stuff, and sure as heck, they come out on the floor and they do it again. You're probably on the radio and everything and not listening to it. It's so bland that I don't know what the strategy is with this coach. I just don't. And I was a big backer of him. If you remember when all that stuff early on in the season, when the internet came on, I came on and I blasted those guys big time. But if we don't make a change here, this season's going to go down the tubes. I've come to that conclusion. I don't see changes happening. I don't see corrections in game. Sorry.
Make a change as in a coaching change, are you saying?
Yes.
Well, that's certainly a very drastic view that you would have. Before I do let you go, Diggy.
But this is a drastic situation. So you have to have drastic changes. I mean, Dame didn't show up tonight. Nolan showed up tonight. I mean, when we beat Sacramento, we weren't in the game either until late. Our window is closing. And when it shuts,
when it's shut, it's shut.
The bread box.
Yeah, when it's shut, it's shut for years. Yeah.
I mean, and we're gonna be at the bottom of the league, rebuilding. Okay, I'm 73. I probably won't see this rebuild.
Your scale of 1 to 10 concern right now would be what?
I think it's a 3 or a 4. I here's a prediction. We're going to lose one of the games against Detroit. And then we come back and we play Cleveland twice.
Yeah.
And they're trying to move up. We're going to have a heck of a hard time beating them in Milwaukee.
And then once you get through those two is when the schedule starts to pick up.
Back to one of those games. I'm sorry?
Once you get through those two is when the schedule starts to pick up. You got the Pelicans. You got the Nuggets on the road.
Yeah, yeah. So where is the sun rising here? I don't see it. I just don't see it. And believe me, I want it to be I hope I am so wrong for this. But I just see doom and gloom.
Well, I hope you're wrong about this weekend with the two games against the Pistons, but we'll check in with you again.
We're going to lose one.
We'll check in with you Monday, and hopefully your prediction is wrong, right, and the Bucks go 2-0. Thanks
and
for the call.
I will come back, and I'll say I'm wrong, but it better be more than a last-shot victory.
By the way, Dick, before I let you go, you saw who else was traded today.
No, who else?
Well, I mean,
oh, yeah.
they had to give up
there?
A lot to get a lot.
Oh, I know, but Jordan, you know, what they did ask him to do is bring his own practice jerseys along, so they didn't have to spend money on it. I think that was part of the deal. I really do.
Thanks for the call,
thanks,
Dick.
Justin.
We'll check in with you Monday. And look, the only reason why I let Dick pile on Jordan Wara is because he still owes me a pair of Damian Lillard shoes. This is now 3 years that we've gone on that I was promised these by Jordan Wara on a Courtside Live interview that we did with him during that season. I've still yet to see him. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Still a couple of more calls to get to. We will get to those after this. But the Pacers were in a spot where they were fighting to stay out of. They were where Dick thinks the Bucks could potentially be, fighting to stay out of the play-in tournament. I think this move, you don't lose a whole lot defensively. You lose some. Bruce Brown's a very good defensive player, but you certainly gain a lot offensively. And you could say, well, Pascal, we need more of the defense than scoring. We'll let Tyrese Halliburton take it from there. So it's going to be interesting to see this team come together and gel. But I think it cements the Pacers in the top six. I don't think it puts them to that level with the Bucks and the Sixers. It certainly doesn't put them to the level with the Celtics. Real quick, the other thing I mentioned, not a trade, because I think it's a tough sell. We've heard it come up a lot of, would you trade for P.J. Tucker? He's unhappy in Los Angeles. To me, it's a tough sell to give up assets when you have very limited assets to begin with. And this is your last, to borrow a term from your favorite team, Tommy, this is your last bite at the apple at this trade deadline, because the second apron kicks in next this upcoming offseason. So you're not going to be able to be active in terms of the buyouts, and you can't aggregate contracts. It limits the number of money you can bring back in trades. So this is it. It's a tough sell for me to give up limited assets as it is for a near 40-year-old P.J. Tucker. But the report from Jake Fisher wasn't a trade, at least with the Bucks. His reporting is the Wizards could be a landing spot for P.J. Tucker. And you may ask, well, why would the Wizards do that? They're one of the worst teams in the league. It's just what we have seen with the Oklahoma City Thunder in recent years. We'll rent our cap space. So we'll take this on. You're giving us other assets. And the Clippers don't have a whole lot to give. But the report was the Wizards would trade for him. They would then buy him out. And his preference, according to Jake Fisher, would be either the Bucks or the Phoenix Suns. So if we're talking buyout, now I'm interested. If we're talking trade, I don't know. That's kind of a tough sell. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight. Let's take one more call here. Bob in Menasha has been patiently waiting. Bob, what's going on tonight?
You know, yeah, not much new stuff to add, but I always enjoy your optimism. But I don't know about that optimism sometimes. You know, it's tough to play without perhaps the best player in the league. But didn't the Bucks have four starters out there tonight starting the game?
Yep.
I'm sure they all were out there, weren't they?
Yep.
But how many times have they come out of the gates slow like this? Many, many nights, right? Am I right?
Early in the season, yeah. It had been better of late, but it was it was a trend that, early.
That's scary, and that has a whole lot to do with the coaching technique. I'm quite sure of that and so forth. But you're right. They don't have many cards left in the deck as far as trading material, and I think they've taken care of that this past summer. But, you know, help me out. But the other night against the Warriors, didn't one of the best players of the Warriors not play at all?
Yeah, Steph Curry.
Am I wrong? But didn't Curry?
Yeah, Curry was out.
He didn't play, but I thought. But Bucks only beat him by about 10 points, if I remember right.
Yep.
So, you know, sometimes your other stars have got to take charge a little bit. But those four starters for the Bucks tonight, I'm not sure one of them is capable of really taking charge without the big guy out there. You know, the big guy, he gives 120%. Some of these other guys, I sometimes doubt their how competitive they want to be when he's not out there. You know, Beasley, sometimes I'm not sure he even exists out there. You know, and the other night against the Kings, that was a pretty fortunate win. I think you'd agree with that, wouldn't you? You know, that was pretty much a lost cause into that last shot. So I think it's going to be tough with those trades coming in from the Pacers. And you know, the Bucks, one sprained ankle away in a seven-game series, and without the big guy in there, it could be curtains. Well, thank you so much for taking my call, okay?
Thanks for the call, Bob. And look, he brings up the Bucks have been very fortunate in terms of injuries this season. It's Jay Crowder. That's basically it. That is all they've dealt with. The Kings game, they were fortunate to win it in overtime, but it should not have gotten to overtime. I think the Kings were fortunate to get it to overtime, and then from there, the Bucks were fortunate to win after that. So it's both sides of it that I can see there. But look, it's as we've talked about a lot early in the season, slow starts were very problematic for this team early in the season. They seemed to right that ship, and now we've seen it a couple of times. It's been nowhere near the levels that we saw earlier in the season, but it's I'm not going to say deflating, but we were so looking forward to today because Jay Crowder is back and this team was fully healthy, and then all of a sudden this afternoon you see Giannis is out. We saw the Bucks win the only other game that Giannis missed this season, and that's when the offense looked really good. There was a lot of ball movement. Damian Lillard had a big game, but just from start to finish, not pretty tonight in Cleveland. Let's squeeze in one more call. James on the South Side. What's going on tonight, James?
Well, to get beat this bad and have your four starters in there and Giannis with a shoulder injury out was pretty pathetic to see that. I hope the next four games or whatever it is that they're playing Detroit and Cleveland there, that we're going to show on up if Giannis is going to be out with a shoulder injury or that. I guess my thing too is that is we're at the halfway point of the season right now, and is 55 games or 56 games going to be enough to keep us in second place, or are we going to slide down from second to maybe third or fifth place in the playoffs there?
That is going to be the thing to monitor. Thanks for the call, James, that we mentioned quite a few times. The schedule picks up in terms of the intensity. They have, if not the most difficult, one of the five most difficult schedules in, I believe, the entire second half of the season, but especially the last month of the season. So that is going to be the challenge, is that gelling, that chemistry, everything we pointed to of turning the corner, it's got to be there by the time you get into March with the difficulties of this schedule. 2 days off, and then Saturday afternoon basketball, 2 o'clock. Perfect timing with what goes on that evening. 2 o'clock tip in Detroit, 1:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk to you Saturday night.